like, oh no, Esme's gonna have nightmares, she's never gonna sleep again. So I screamed at the top of my lungs. My boyfriend went into flight mode and was like, I do sometimes feel like I'm a 40-year-old woman in like a 22-year-old woman's body. Little top tip of what we did, we finessed the system. So everyone was all heading one direction. We're like, let's just go down this little alleyway. Let's just see where it takes us. Hello everybody and welcome back to my podcast, Esme's Country Life. Before we begin, I just want to say a huge thank you to the sponsor of the podcast, RedPost. RedPost is an equestrian and country store based in the UK, but they also ship all over the world. Also, thought I'd let you know about the RedPost app. If you don't have it yet, if you download it, you get 5% off your first order. So if you're looking at maybe that new pair of tall boots or that new helmet, be sure to download the RedPost app, buy it on that to get that deal. Also, I know it's a little bit early, but Black Friday is around the corner. And if you have the RedPost app, you get early bird access to all the awesome Black Friday deals. And also, if you're a Stride member, so that's if you have a membership to get next day free delivery from RedPost, then you also get even better early access for Black Friday. But anyway, thank you so much to RedPost for sponsoring the podcast. Anyway, on to what I have been up to lately. So in the last episode, we did like a little bit of a chat about horsey horror stories. So if you haven't listened to that one, that was a really good episode. Lots of very interesting, funny and spooky stories as well about me and the horses and that sort of thing. And so many of you on my last YouTube video kind of, because I basically put the podcast on YouTube. That's the best way to see all of your comments about, you know, when we're chatting together on the podcast, you know, what you guys think to it. But anyway, some of you left some really good horsey horror stories on there. So after you've listened to this episode and you want to have a little look through, I was going to read them out, but there are so many good ones. And also I'm dyslexic, so I do find it quite difficult reading things out loud. I think I just focus so much on reading each word that it doesn't really sound like a sentence and I sound a little bit like a robot. But if you go on to that YouTube video and read through, there are some really interesting ones. So I just wanted to say a huge thank you to all of you that have left some horsey horror stories in the comments. Talking about sort of Halloween stuff, because this episode will be going out kind of like the Saturday before Halloween, I thought I would talk a little bit about some sort of spooky things that I've been up to lately. So it's kind of like a tradition in my friendship group that pretty much almost every single year since I was, I want to say 16, like obviously there's been like 1 year that we missed out, and then obviously COVID, that kind of thing, we missed out then obviously. But we go to a local kind of Halloween scare fest. I think that's the best way I can describe it. Basically, there's a farm not too far away and we all go there, and they have lots of different like scare mazes. So they have loads of like different themed ones. Our favorite one that we kind of have like a little bit of a list of all the different ones that we go on, and let me tell you, I have some funny stories about us going around there. So the first one that we went on, which we go on every single year first, is the Haunted Hayride. That one's probably one of my favorite, but because you basically go on the trailer on the back of a tractor, so you know, very country. I think it's kind of like supposed to be themed, like all of them have different themes, and this one I think it's supposed to be themed like you're on like a trailer ride in like LA or Hollywood, and then it's going through kind of like old sets of like films and things. So that was pretty cool. That was always, you know, a good one. I'd say the clown one is probably always my least favourite one. Not because I'm scared of clowns, but because I just feel like it's just a little bit like silly. I don't know. It's quite cool though, because it's all done with like neons, and I can't remember if this, we didn't go on it this year because we went on a Saturday, so it was really, really busy, and they were like, go on your favourite ones first, just in case. Also, I feel like they've changed it quite a bit, because I think nowadays you have to show ID and have to be like over 16 to get in. I know that I'm officially old now because I wasn't asked for ID. I feel like things like that I would always get ID'd for. I think it was like if you looked under 21, and I guess I'm 22 now, you had to show ID. But anyway, I remember like back in the day, they would literally like let, if you were like brave enough, they were like, yeah, you can go in. Like two of my friends, I think the first year they went, they were only like 11 or 12, I think, which is pretty young for spooky things like that. Although, to be fair, I went around the London... No, it was the York Dungeons was the first dungeons I went in. If you're not from the UK and you don't know what, like, the dungeons are, they're basically these attractions at lots of different kind of, like, old cities. So the main, like, famous one is the London Dungeons. And basically you walk through... this like building, and there's loads of actors, and they tell you stories about the city or the town and what it was like back in the olden days and that kind of thing. So it is educational, and I love things like that, where everything's kind of made to look old. And I don't know, I just love like themed attractions. I'm just like a bit of a nerd like that. I don't know, I just find them really fascinating. But they're also kind of like scary. So they had one, there's like stories of like Jack the Ripper and Sweeney Todd, who was a barber, I'm pretty sure, and bad people he would take into his barber shop and basically take them around the back. I don't want to say, I don't know if this is too like graphic, basically would make them into pies. And yeah, there we go. Anyway, so there are some like more like gruesome stories. There's always one about the plague as well. They'd always say stories about that, which I found very fascinating. I felt like at school, like in primary school, like we would, like there was always like a topic on the plague that people would learn about. Or maybe that was just my school. I don't know. There's, you would always, like, in, like, British primary school or British schools, there would always be, like, certain things of history that you would always learn about. Like, you'd always learn about Henry VIII and all of his wives and that kind of thing. And I don't know. I feel like they're the main, like, history things I can really remember from school. Anyway, back to the Halloween scare fest kind of place. Oh, yeah, I was saying that I went to the York Dungeons when I was only 10. And I remember being a little bit scared before I went in, because I went in with my mum and dad. My brother, I think, was too young to go at the time, so I think he did something with my grandparents because we all went on holiday together. But I remember my mum being like, oh no, Esme's going to have nightmares. She's never going to sleep again. And she was like proper like winding me up. Not in like a she was trying to wind me up kind of way, but in like a worrying mother kind of way. Like, oh, I don't know if this is going to be too scary for you. And that made me more scared. But actually, I found out, I was like, oh no, this is actually quite fun. It's the jump scares that get me. I never find like the spooky, gruesome-y kind of stuff like that scary. It's if there's a jump scare or a loud noise or a bang, it properly gets me. Like, I am a screamer. I will scream, I will squeal, like... It's just my natural instinct. But anyway, so we went around this like Halloween scare maze kind of thing. And my boyfriend had never been to one before. He said that he went to one when he was like 12 in Spain. And I think he got quite traumatized because apparently in that like haunted house kind of thing, the actors could touch you. And he said that this one guy just like pinned him up against a wall. So he was a bit traumatized after that. I can't remember if he was saying that he got like kicked out because he kicked the actor. Which, to be fair, if you were like 11 or 12 and got pushed up against a wall by a grown man, I think you'd try and escape, wouldn't you? In all fairness, actually, I've got a story. One of my friends that I know, she got thrown out of a Halloween scare maze place because I think there was somebody hiding in a bin, and they popped out at her when she went to go and put something in the bin. And she just like punched them straight in the face, and then obviously got kicked out because she'd just like abused one of the staff members. So yeah, we were like, okay, let's, you know, but luckily, yeah, this one, the rules are the actors aren't allowed to touch you, and you're obviously not allowed to touch the actors. I'm pretty sure maybe at different places like Thorpe Park, I'm pretty sure like back in the day, I've only been to Thorpe Park once for their Scare Fest, and I'm pretty sure that one they were allowed to touch you, but not in like a horrible way. Like, they wouldn't hurt you, but like, I don't know, they'd like just put their hand on your shoulder and things like that to like be a little bit more creepy. But I find like when I first go into the scare mazes, I'm like more scared because it's been like a year since I've done any of them. And then once when the actors like talk to you, like some of them are quite funny. Like there's our favorite one, or the one that we always leave till last, is called Chop Shop. And that one is basically themed. It's supposed to be kind of like an American hillbilly kind of garage. So they're all, all the people have like American accents and that kind of thing. And then basically you go through, and it's like quite fun when you first walk in, like the actors talk to you and they make fun of you and like that kind of thing. And then as you go on, it basically just goes into like a maze of loads of people with chainsaws. And that I'd say is probably the most traumatizing one because it's so loud and I just the noise of the chainsaws, it's not very nice. So that was the one that me and my boyfriend, all of them, we didn't end up going in the front. And this one, because it was right at the end of the night, and most people you would go through, because it was busy on a Saturday, you'd go through in groups of like 10 or 12, that kind of thing. Like, you'd be put in a group with other people. This one, that we were six of us in a group, we were the last people to go, and they're like, oh, it's your last to go, we'll let you go on your own. And we're like, oh, brilliant. So me and my boyfriend got pushed to the front of the queue, and we're like, okay, we're going in the front. And his technique was, I'm just gonna run through, grabbed my arm, and because we went through so quickly, like we speed ran this maze, that we managed to like run basically past all the actors with chainsaws. So they got our friends at the back but not us at the front, which is quite funny, until we got to the end of the maze. And basically what happened was, we, like, the last guy obviously knew he was the last guy at the end, and he would chase people like right out of the maze. So we were like, we were running, we were going, and then he just kept chasing us. Like, we were out of the maze into the light, into like the park where everyone else was, and he just kept chasing us, and we just kept running. We were like running halfway across the park, and then he like obviously ran back to like go and get our friends, because we were just like so far ahead. And that was so funny, because I was proper screaming. I feel like most people are like, Esme, how is this fun? Like, my boyfriend was like that. It was a bit like scary, but like, he was like, it was more unpleasant, like the noise of all the loud chainsaws and that kind of thing. He was like, I don't know if I'd want to go next year, like it's all right, but it's like, it wasn't really his thing when stuff like that I love. The funniest one I'd say was there's one where basically you have to put like a bag over your head, and it's complete like darkness, and you have a rope and you follow along the rope. And I remember the first year I did this, because basically you have one hand on the rope and one hand on the person that's in like your party or your group, on their shoulder. And I lost the person that was in front of me because they zoomed ahead. And then I lost the rope as well. So I was just walking around like a headless chicken, and one of the actors grabbed onto my arm and was like, I'm going to put you back to the rope, in like spooky voice. They're like, your arm is going back to the rope now, like kind of like in a weird ASMR kind of way. And that was like proper scary, because I was like, didn't realize that they were just gonna like grab my arm. So that was quite funny. But anyway, my boyfriend, because he'd never been to the scare mazes before, he didn't know any of them. And I was like, oh yeah, there's one where you have to walk around with a bag over your head and you can't see anything, you just have to hold on to the rope of the person in front. And he thought I was taking the mic, he thought I was joking, and he was like, I'm not doing that one. And then we were like, oh yeah, let's go and do this one. And he was like, you weren't joking, there actually is one where you have to have a bag on your head. And I was like, yep. And he, like, when I told him before, like a few weeks before, he was like, no, I'm not doing that one. And because we were all there, he was like, okay, I'll do it. And he was like, actually, that one was the least scary, because it was actually quite fun. You just kind of walked around in the dark, you know, it wasn't as scary because you weren't like looking at as much stuff. I don't know, that one was quite relaxing actually. What other kind of funny stories I have? Oh, the worst story was, okay, so there's this one where, you know, like a bouncy castle kind of material, where it's kind of like a plastic sheet with air. There's one like that, which I think is supposed to like scare people who are claustrophobic, which for me, I'm a claustrophobic person, but that one didn't freak me out as much because I could kind of see the light in the distance where I could like escape and get out, if that makes sense. But anyway, so that was kind of like above our heads. So you kind of had to like push through. Anyway, me and my boyfriend were near the front actually on that one. So we ran out, and then like sometimes, basically a lot of them for the jump scares, the actors are like, if you have to go around a corner, you go around and then they jump out at you. So as we came out of that one, I think I just was anticipating an actor to jump out at me. And then my friend's boyfriend, he was running behind us, like he was proper sprinting, and I didn't realize it was him. I could just see this figure in the background in like the corner of my eye running after me, and I thought it was one of the actors. So I screamed at the top of my lungs. My boyfriend went into flight mode and was like, quick, I need to save Ez and like get her out of the way. So we were like holding hands, and he zoomed. so fast that it felt like my arm got whiplash and proper kind of like zoomed along with him. And my arm was proper aching for like 10 minutes after that. And it was only my friend's boyfriend, Toby. You know, it wasn't one of the actors. It was just Toby. So that was quite funny. But yeah, that was kind of what basically we got up to at the Halloween Scare Fest the other day. Also, just thought I would say something real quick. I hate to be that kind of YouTuber podcaster kind of person, but if you've been listening to the podcast for a while and you're enjoying it, I'm only going to ask you to do one thing. And if you could, it depends what platform you're on, but like the podcast or rate it 5 stars or comment or subscribe or follow. I would really, really appreciate it. I've got some really big plans for the podcast. I don't really want to say too much, but had a meeting with Spotify the other day and that was really exciting. So lots of really cool stuff coming up. So yeah, thank you so much for listening to the podcast so far and into what else I've been up to this week. I've actually been up to quite a bit lately. I've been to Cheltenham for the first time. I've got to say that is a very nice town. I haven't even said why I was going there. So I went to Cheltenham to the Cheltenham Literary Festival, which was my first time actually ever at a literary festival. And what I was doing was I was basically doing a talk on stage that so many of you guys came to, so thank you so much for coming. At first I was thinking, oh my gosh, nobody is gonna like come along to this. And we had a full crowd in the sort of auditorium, what's it called? Yeah, like an auditorium, is that what you would call it? Or like a theatre? There we go. Yeah, theatre. And I haven't really done much public speaking in my time. I've done a lot of, obviously, talking to the camera, interviewing writers, interviewing like famous people and that kind of thing. But I've not really done much, you know, talking in front of lots of people in a crowd. And I feel like it's one of those things that I feel more natural doing because I'm used to talking to a camera. But I wanted to give you some advice on how, basically this is just the way my brain works. The first time I ever had to speak properly on stage in front of loads of people was back in 2017. I think I had about 30,000 subscribers and I was invited to the Pony Club conference where Princess Anne was there. And she was, watching us all do our talks about Pony Club. And the Pony Club very kindly invited me after seeing my Pony Club camp videos and that kind of thing. And anyway, so I did a little talk on stage. And I was only just turned 16 at the time. So I was very young. And so many people were like, oh my gosh, how did you just go up on stage and talk to that many people? And I think the thing that got me through it was, I don't know if traumatized is the right word. But back then, I'd just done my GCSE exams. And I did French and I also did Spanish for my GCSEs, which is obviously a different language. And the thing that I was most nervous about back then was my speaking exams. And I think the thing that I thought to myself was, I managed to get through my speaking exam all right, where I was literally speaking a different language. You know, if I get a mental block, at least I know that I'm speaking my own language. So that was the thing I think that's got me over my fear of public speaking, by doing those speaking exams really boosted my confidence. And I was like, you know what, I'm just going to go up on stage and I get to talk in my own language. So it's less stressful than you think, talking about things I love. And I had so much fun at the Cheltenham Literary Festival. I was very honoured to be invited, especially as I'm kind of like a newish kind of author with the books. And it was pretty cool because they have this kind of like little seating area bit where you sign in and they have food and a bit basically where the authors can just go and chill. And I walked in and there were actually quite a few famous faces in there. I saw Jacqueline Wilson, who does, especially if you're British, you'll definitely know who she is, but she wrote the Tracy Beaker books. So if you're a CBBC kid like I was and used to watch like Tracy Beaker and Tracy Beaker Returns, like The Dumping Ground, they were like my favorite shows as a kid. And I actually when I kind of got into reading a little bit later in life, obviously because of my dyslexia, so it was kind of around it when I was like year 5 year 6. So how old is that, like 9 10 11, I'd say, was when I like properly got into like reading a little bit more like independently, because I actually could read at that stage. But I used to really enjoy reading her books as well, like the Hetty Feather books I used to read. And I'm pretty sure they made that into a CBBC show. I can't remember, but I think by the time they made it into a show, I was kind of getting a little bit old for watching kids' TV anymore. That's when I kind of got into watching YouTube, really. But I feel like my generation, we very much like got into watching YouTube. I feel like we were that awkward age where there wasn't really much on the telly for teenagers. Like, there was CBBC. We were a FreeSat family. Like, we didn't have Sky or any of the kind of like services that you have to pay for. Like, we just had free TV. But anyway, so I used to watch, like, obviously CBBC, CITV, and then when you got to the stage where you were like, okay, I'm getting a little bit old for watching kids' TV, there wasn't really like a natural progression. I used to watch like a few things on like BBC Three, but then that like disappeared. So I think, yeah, a lot of my generation just like ended up watching videos on YouTube and watching YouTubers. And then like Netflix was a thing, but it wasn't like a thing that everyone had. It was like the odd person you'd hear like, oh, like they've got that Netflix thing. When now I feel like there's so much for like more teenagers and young people to watch, because there's like Netflix, there's Disney Plus, there's Amazon Prime, there's all that kind of stuff. So yeah, anyway, I've really gone off topic. Back to the Cheltenham Literary Festival. Yeah, I had a great time. I did about, I think it was like 40 minutes / half an hour of me just like talking nonstop, which at first I was like, oh wow, that sounds quite daunting, when actually I realised, Esme, with the podcast, you literally sit and chat for like almost an hour sometimes. Like, girl, you're going to be fine. So I talked about the horses and writing the books, my dyslexia and that kind of thing. And what was really lovely is I did like a little meet and greet afterwards. And there was a handful of people that obviously like lived in Cheltenham or lived locally. And they just like came along. They'd never heard of me or my videos or that kind of thing, and just wanted to come along and hear. So that was really lovely. Because there was a few of you that like asked like, oh, what's like your YouTube channel and things like that. So that was really lovely. Also, one of the things that I did on stage when I first arrived, I asked, how many of you guys I actually got it mixed up, which was quite embarrassing, but it's fine. I styled it out, it was all good. I asked, how many of you have been to a literary festival before? And like half of the crowd put their hand up, and I was like, oh wow, okay, this is like something that a lot of people do there, because I'd never been to one before. To be fair, I don't think there are any literature festivals like near where I live anyway. But it's obviously like a thing that, you know, people who live near Cheltenham, like, is, you know, do regularly every year. So anyway, and then I asked, how many of you haven't been to a literature festival before? And I put my hand up, which I thought was quite funny. But yeah, no, I had a really lovely time. I did a meet and greet afterwards, which went on for, I want to say, like almost 2 hours. I didn't realise this at the time, because obviously I was like busy chatting to you guys, having a blast, getting photos, signing books, that kind of thing. But the people that had like organised in the theatre and the festival and everything, they were starting to get a bit stressed, because the next person was doing their talk on stage and they were supposed to be doing a signing afterwards, and the queue was still there, and apparently like it was one of the biggest ever like signings that they'd ever seen basically at the festival. So just want to say a huge thank you to everyone that came. I really, really appreciate it, and you guys are the reason that I'm able to do incredible things like that, so thank you. But yeah, that was wild. So I had a really good time, and I'd love to do more things like that. So you never know, there might be some more literature festivals that I end up going to, but that was really good fun. What else? I feel like I've done quite a lot. I feel like I've got a lot to update you guys on, because obviously we did the Horse Horror Stories last episode, so I've got like 2 weeks of interesting stories to tell you. What else did we do? Oh, me and my boyfriend, we went to the O2 in London, which I've been to twice before, but I've never been there for a concert. I've been there actually to see comedians, so I think... Oh, I was actually quite young at the time. Me and my family went and saw Russell Howard back in the day. And then I've seen Miranda Hart as well. If you're British, you probably know who she is. She's like a comedian. She had a show called Miranda back in like, I want to say like, was it called Miranda? I'm pretty sure it was. Yeah, back in like 2012, 2013, I'd say, was like, I just remember being like year 7, year 8. And that was like her prime time, where everyone would like, I remember all the girls at school would watch it and like read her like autobiography or biography. I always get those mixed up. I can't remember if she wrote herself or not. But anyway, so that was a little bit of a throwback. So I'd never been there for a concert before, and we saw Luke Combs, or Luke Combs. I think me and my boyfriend always call him Luke Combs, and I think when they were actually at the show, like, they had obviously people that were on before him, and they said, called him Luke Combs. So I'm going to try and call him his correct name, because I know how annoying that is when people call me Esme rather than Esme. But the thing is, I feel like I've got so used to people saying Esme, especially if somebody has like a northern accent or like a different accent. I feel like it just sounds like that's the way that like they pronounce it because of their accent. So I feel like nowadays, like, I don't mind at all, I'm used to it. But when I was a child, it was like one of those things that would really annoy me. I remember I had like a dance teacher, and she would always call me Esme, which is like the French version, and she would always spell my name wrong as well. She'd put two E's in an accent when it's just like, actually technically three E's, because there's the E at the beginning, but it's just ESME, like the channel name. Anyway, what was I even talking about? Oh yeah, the concert. So we had a blast. It was really good fun. I'd say it didn't quite top the Coldplay concert. That was next level. I felt like at Coldplay, there was a lot more like talking in between the songs. And that's one of the things that I love about concerts, when the artists like talk about the songs, how they wrote it, like the story behind it. Sometimes they talk about like what was going on in their life then and that kind of thing. But it was still really good. Like that fella, Luke has got an incredible voice. So yeah, he does like country music, if you're wondering. Also, it was the cutest thing. We didn't like properly see it, but we heard this like screaming in one of the like proper like lovey-dovey kind of songs. And basically somebody got proposed to, which was adorable, so cute. I don't think I would personally ever want to be proposed to in like a public environment, like in front of that many people, but I would understand if it was like you and your partner's like kind of song or like your favorite artist, and like if you knew they were like 100% gonna say yes, then I'd say like that's all right. But for me personally, like, I would want it to be like somewhere I don't know, like somewhere that was like a place that meant a lot to both of us. And like, I would want it to be like a bit of a surprise as well. Like, I feel like a lot of people get like engaged to on holiday. Like, I feel like I'm quite an obvious person as well. Like, I'll walk down and so many of my friends be like, oh, you just got recognized. And I will not realize that at all. They're like, oh, did you see that skeleton in that car? And I'll be like, no, like, I just don't see things. I just feel like I'm in my own little world a lot of the time. But anyway, the concert was really good. Also, if you're ever at the O2, I want a little top tip on how to leave, because at the end it is just like a huge crowd of people, and everyone wants to go to like the taxis, and everyone wants to go to all the like undergrounds to get like the trains and things. A little top tip of what we did, we finessed the system. So everyone was all heading one direction. We're like, let's just go down this little alleyway. Let's just see where it takes us. We managed to get an Uber boat, which was so cool. So it's like this big old boat kind of thing that you can get on. And we ended up accidentally going, they were like, oh, where are you going? And we're like, oh, London Bridge. And they were like, oh, just go on this one. And they point us towards the premium Uber boat, I think it's called, or something like that. Anyway, we ended up going on that one. And they were like, oh, have you paid extra for premium? We're like, no. And he was like, that's fine, just go on. So we just like scanned our I was gonna say Oyster card. We don't have Oyster cards, we are not London people. But if you do go on the tubes in London, you can just scan like your bank card. So we just like Apple paid it, because we've been going on the tubes anyway, so that I'm pretty sure was not really, I don't think it was any extra cost really. So anyway, we got the Uber boat, went to London Bridge, got our train to got on a tube from there to where our hotel was. And then bam, didn't get stuck in all the tubes of everyone. Oh, it was so funny actually when we were on the way to the concert, because as we were going there, you could kind of like spot who was going to the concert. You could see like cowboy boots or cowgirl boots. You could see people in like cowboy or cowgirl hats. There was a lot of flannel and a lot of check shirts. There were a lot of denim jeans, denim jackets, leather jackets, a lot of fringe. It was interesting to see what people went for. So a lot of people went for, you know, like the proper American style, like baseball caps. That was quite cool. It was kind of different. You could see people that were very like country in like an American way. There were lots of people that were very country in like a British country way. So there were like shuffles, Fairfax and Favour boots, tassels, that kind of thing. And then there were also people that just went full on glitzy cowgirl. Like they were wearing lots of sparkles, like neon pink cowgirl hat with like fluff on, that kind of thing. So it was really interesting seeing all the different outfits. If you're wondering what I was wearing, I wore my cowgirl boots that are, you know, authentic, not just from like a online shop. Like they are, I bought them from the Tract Supply Company when I was in America back in 2019. I was thinking of bringing my hat, but I thought I didn't really like take a suitcase or anything. It was just like a long weekend. So I just had like a little hat, like a little, you know, tote bag with me. And I was like, I don't really want to walk around London for the rest of the day before and the day after with a cowgirl hat on. I was like, cowgirl boots, I can get away with, you know, that's what all the London girlies are wearing for fashion now. But I was like, cowgirl hat might be a little bit too much. Also, I was like, if there are people behind me, I don't want to block the view. To be fair, the seats of the O2 are very good. So even if you have a tall person in front of you, you're going to be all right. You're going to see the stage and stuff. But I was a little bit worried about that too. And just I didn't want to lose it or get it broken, so I wore a creamed trench coat with white jeans and like a white kind of like satiny party top with my brown tan cowgirl belt as well, which again got from America as well. So I was feeling like a mix between authentic cowgirl because I had like the proper boots and the proper belt, and also like a little bit party because I had like a party top and white jeans. But anyway, no, it was really good fun, and I felt like it was a sort of outfit where when I had my trench coat done up, I just looked like I didn't look like I was going to like a country concert or I was like dressed up too much. But no, that was really good fun. We did a little bit of shopping the day after as well. That was really lovely. I also it was probably a little bit early. I didn't buy anything. But I did have a look around some of the shop's Christmas decorations. H&M had their Christmas decorations in, and oh, H&M Home, love looking around there. Zara Home, the White Company Home, oh my goodness, that shop, it is gorgeous. Like some of the stuff in there is pricey, but I just feel like, I don't know, I just walk around and I just feel like a middle-aged mother, but in like a nice way. Do you know what I mean? Like one day when I've saved up a lot of money, I will be able to afford a really nice pair of like pajamas from there or something like that. Do you know what I mean? Like, so it's not even like that pricey, but like it's the pricey enough where you're like, ooh, that's nice, you know. It's not like Louis Vuitton pricey, but it's a very nice place. I love like looking around home shops like that. I feel like I'm such like a, as I said before, I'm such like a grandma. I do sometimes feel like I'm a 40-year-old woman in like a 22-year-old woman's body. I don't know. There's just stuff like that I love. Like I love patterned oven gloves and things like that. It's so sad, but it just brings so much joy to my life. Oh, I need to get some. I do actually. I think I've got it's in my loft at the moment. I can't wait to get all my Christmas decorations down. Very excited about that. Talking about decorations, I have been doing a lot on the cottage lately. I say a lot. It just feels like because I've actually done something, it feels like a lot has changed. The spare bedroom, I'd say, is like almost completely done, just waiting on my curtains and then it'll be complete. But that is looking really good. Basically, online, my favourite thing to do, which I think I've mentioned before, is buy old paintings from Etsy, especially as you can get really good deals and get like pieces that, you know, not everyone has, if that makes sense. I find like some shops like IKEA or Dunelm, a lot of the paintings you can kind of like see in a lot of people's houses because it's like very much like print art that like everyone has, if you know what I mean. So that's why I love buying like old vintage stuff. Like there was one and it literally like the frame was almost falling apart. It was fine, I glued it together, it was fine. But my parents were like, I ordered quite a few from this one place, and because the guy lived locally, he was like, oh, do you mind if I just drop it off at your house? And whenever I order stuff, I always order it to my parents' house, so I always know someone's going to be in, because if they're not in, my grandparents next door, they're always in. So anyway, I ordered it there, and my parents like, oh my goodness, Esme, what a bunch of old like tosh, like what is this, like these frames falling apart, these old dusty paintings. And I was like, no, I have a vision. And at first they were like, Esme, where are you gonna put all these, like you don't have enough wall space for all these paintings. Anyway, I've managed to find a home for every painting, and my dad actually said to me, actually Esme, you've done a good job here, I see your vision now. I didn't trust it to begin with, but actually it does look good. Saying that, I do actually have a painting from Dunelm with horses on, and it doesn't look like a mass-produced art piece. It does actually look really, really nice, and that is above my kind of at-home office kind of PC. That is the one thing that I really want to try and get done next, is the kind of like the smallest room in the house upstairs, which is like just about big enough to put like a single bed in. So I'm probably not going to put a bed in there because I don't have that many people that like, you know, come round for sleepovers and that kind of thing. Also, my sofas are quite big. Like they're big enough that you could like lie across them. That was the one thing that I wanted. I was like, I want a sofa that I can properly lie on, because the amount of times I've like fallen asleep in front of like the TV and things like that. And I just like a good lie down, a good, you know, leg stretch. But anyway, that's little room is hopefully going to become my like reading room / office / scrapbooking kind of room. So me and my dad are going to hopefully try and build like a bookcase together. So that is what's coming up soon in the cottage renovation. Also, I know a lot of people are going to ask me about my cupboards, and I actually had people at my meet and greet in Cheltenham asking me, Esme, have you painted your cupboards yet? And also, so many of you also were very kind and said, Esme, please stop and drink some water, because often when I've said this before, when I do meet and greets, I always forget to drink water. So thank you to the people that made me stop halfway through my meet and greet and was like, girl, chug down some water, honey, you have not drunk anything. So that was really lovely. But anyway, back to the cupboards. The cupboards have become a little bit of a sore subject at the moment, because me and my dad were like, okay, let's take the cupboards off to paint them. We can paint all the inside, that kind of thing. And we thought, you know what? Put them in the summer house. Now, when we put them in the summer house, it was a lovely, dry, warm, sunny day. And we left the cupboard doors in the summer house for about a week. And in that week, we had a lot of rain. And what we didn't realise is that the summer house isn't as watertight as we expected. It can get a little bit damp. And moisture and damp mixed with MDF cupboard doors is not a good mix. Basically, my cupboard doors have gone a little bit bendy. And me and my dad tried to put the cupboard doors back on. And once we realised that they were a little bit bendy, and we couldn't get them back on. So we had to ring Cole the carpenter, be like, hey, you know those cupboards you did ages ago that like, yeah, basically we've messed them up. So he came along and him and his mate managed to put them back on. They're currently drying off, they're back on their hinges, and they're starting to go back to their non-wonky shape. So we're just gonna let them to dry for a couple of days, then I'll paint them, and then hopefully it will all be a bad dream that we can just move over. Because these cupboard doors, they have annoyed me for so long. I just haven't got around to painting them. Anyway, I will paint them at some stage. Thank you for all the reminders. Once they have dried out, it's all going to be okay. The cupboard door, at first, me and my dad were like, oh my gosh, we're going to have to pay so much money to have like new cupboard doors put on. And we're like, had a bit of a catastrophize, but it's all okay. The cupboard doors are fine. We're gonna be all right. I know it's such like a small problem to have. People have much worse problems, but it's just a bit funny after how long I've been saying that, you know, these cupboard doors are gonna be painted. But I'm excited for spring. I tell you what, that is one thing. I'm excited for spring to like redo the garden. I still have the old like Wendy house in my garden at the moment. Me and my boyfriend this morning actually were looking out the window because it was proper raining. We were watching the rain. It was really cozy. And he was like, we really need to get that like child's like Wendy house that's got no roof out of your garden, because it's just sitting there at the moment. And it is a bit of an eyesore. So maybe I'll put it on the kind of like communal bonfire kind of patch kind of thing that me and my neighbours have. We can just like chuck it on there, because it is coming up to bonfire season soon. So they did have a big fire in there the other day, so hopefully maybe they'll have another big fire. But yes, that is the cottage sort of update for you all, I guess. Also, I now have bedside tables, and that has been a big game changer. Before, I had a normal table, like a side table, but it didn't have any drawers. So all of the like little things that I have on my bedside table were just there and looked really messy. Like when I was filming the video, I have lots of weird things. Like I have lip balm, I have like an oil pen for like putting around your cuticles on your nails, because I get really dry hands and cuticles and that kind of thing. So that always looks a bit weird, just like on the side. I don't know, like other bits and bobs, like hand cream, that kind of thing. Just things that like clutter up and make it look messy, or like my book if I'm reading. I could just put that all in a drawer now. It looks nice and tidy. Something else that I've been up to lately is I feel like I've done like a little bit of a tour of the local area, because I actually took lots of photos the other day for one of my sponsors, Fairfax and Favour. And when I tell you, taking photos on your own without horses, it is so much easier. Me and my dad, when we got in the car, to go and take the photos, we're like, have we got everything? Because I'm so used to like packing the horse, packing all the tack, packing the horse box, making sure there's food and water for the horse and a bucket and all the bits and bobs that you need. And like, and it was literally just me, spare makeup, hairbrush in case I needed to like touch up, the cameras and the car. And that was it. And I feel like a lot of the time, like, if you live in the UK, like, we are so lucky to live where we live. And I think often we forget how beautiful of a country that we live in, because where I live, we're on the south coast, and we're not too far away from, if any of you guys are Harry Potter fans, you probably would have seen these this kind of scene, especially I think it's a lot also in the is it called Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them? I feel like I've got that right. I think that's it. I always get the words muddled up a bit with that, where like he's on the cliff and then, oh my gosh, I haven't read or watched any Harry Potter for a while. I went through like a proper big Harry Potter phase when I was kind of like halfway through secondary school, where I like read all the books, like watched all the films loads. And I feel like me and my family, we try and watch all the films around Christmas time, but I just haven't had time to do that recently in the last couple of years, because Christmas is such a busy time for me, like work-wise. Like, I always say it's like the YouTube harvest, and because everyone's at home, everyone's enjoying the holidays, I put out a lot more content that time of year as well. So also, it's quite difficult, I say it's quite difficult, I always feel like I can't complain about my job, but it's more challenging being an equestrian YouTuber or content creator in the winter, because it gets so dark so early. So if you're filming a video, you have to film it basically in the morning, because anything past like 3 o'clock, like, it gets too dark. Also, it's raining all the time. The weather is horrible and cold and windy. So a lot of my content, I try and film like in the summer or the autumn, and then I kind of like save it all and bank it, and then edit it all in the winter and put it out kind of like just before Christmas, because that's when everyone has time off, and also the weather's worse, so more people are going to be inside watching content than, you know, going outside and having a barbecue and being with friends and like that kind of thing. Do you know what I mean? So that's why it's such a busy time for me, because I'm trying to like get everything filmed before it gets dark, get everything edited. And also I'm going to be pretty much from now on, don't hold me to this, there might be a week where there isn't, but I'm going to be hopefully putting out 2 YouTube videos a week. I'd say like not the better ones, because I want to say all my content's good, but the really like ones where I've put loads of effort in, they're going to be the Friday videos. And then the other videos, which are going to be like more like stuff that's maybe not horsey, like the cottage videos, or not that I don't put effort into the cottage videos, but you know what I mean, they're easier to film compared to with horses. Again, everything without horses is just so much easier. And like other little bits and bobs, they're going to be on Tuesdays. And then obviously we have the podcast, which on my channel goes out on a Sunday. So I'm going to be basically posting 3 times a week on my YouTube. So feel free to go and check that content out. We've got some really good content coming up soon. We've got Food Battle, which I know is a fan favourite. What else do we have? Like, that one's so funny. I don't want to give too many spoilers, but I've got, you know, obviously, come to Christmas, going to be doing all the winter morning routines, evening routines. Got a riding routine video. I know you guys love the routine videos, so don't worry, more of those coming soon. Going to hopefully, I haven't filmed it yet, I want to try and film another Riding Dares, but this time with Joey. This week, it's Riding Dares but with Casper, and that's a funny one because I jump into a muck heap full of poo. So if you want to see that and laugh at me, feel free to go and watch that. Sorry, I feel like I'm being that YouTuber now that just like promotes all their videos. Anyway, back to what we were saying. So yeah, anyway, filming without horses and Harry Potter. I've talked about like 12 different things and not even got on to like what I wanted to talk about, so apologies. But if you've been listening to the podcast for a while, you'll know. This is just the way we do things here. Anyway, Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them. The cliffs in that, where is it a boot or is it a bucket? I'm getting that film, and the one where it's the like Quidditch World Cup, that's also where the cliffs are. So if you're a big Harry Potter fan, they are the cliffs that I'm talking about, and we went and took some photos there. And for me, I feel like when you're a child, like, that's near where my other set of grandparents live, and we would just like go to that beach or go to, you know, those cliffs all the time, and it would just seem normal, like this is just, you know, what the world looks like. And you kind of forget that. What I think when you're an adult, you appreciate views and like scenery so much more, because I went there, I was like, wow, this place is actually really beautiful. Like, because I hadn't really been, I went there so much as a kid, and like as a teenager, we didn't go there as much and that kind of thing. But anyway, I went there back there again. And I was like, wow, this is so pretty. And there was like a big bus of all these tourists, and they came over, and it was obviously the first time they'd ever seen these cliffs. And it was just so heartwarming seeing all of their faces when they saw the cliffs for the first time. And so many of them were just like, their jaws like dropped, their mouths were open, and they were just like, oh my goodness, that is stunning. And for me, you know, that was just my normal childhood. Like, they would, that was just, you know, the normal beach that I would see all the time. So, yeah, I think a lot of the time in the UK, we don't appreciate enough how beautiful our country is. Like, all of the beautiful forests that we have, woodlands. I know in the UK, like every town has, like, a bit of a grotty area, or a bit of a not-so-nice area. And, like, obviously, like, there's loads of potholes and that kind of thing that I feel like we all complain about. But we do live in such a beautiful country. Like, I've been very lucky with my job to go to so many different places in the UK, travelling, like, up and down. But anyway, so I feel like, especially when I travel around the UK, I'm like, wow, this part's really beautiful, this part's really beautiful. So yeah, I don't really know what the message to that was, but I think it was kind of like a appreciate where you live and appreciate the beauty in it. Anyway, I feel like that is pretty much enough talking for one day, because I've been very good at going off topic again today, talking about lots of, we've covered a lot. We've covered Halloween scare mazes, we've covered I can't even remember, going to concerts, that kind of thing, shopping, Cheltenham, the cottage. Yeah, we've talked about a lot of different things. But anyway, really hope you guys have enjoyed today's podcast episode. Really hope you enjoyed it. Yeah, thank you so much for listening. Also, huge thank you to Red Part. Oh my gosh, I've talked for too much. A huge thank you to Redpost for sponsoring today's podcast as well. And yeah, thank you so much for listening. Again, if you could please subscribe or like or rate or whatever podcast provider that you're on, if you could like the podcast, I really do appreciate it. And yeah, thanks for listening, and I'll see you all next time. Bye.